House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll. The appropriations committee is all excused.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins. Blevins.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart excused. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquibel excused. Filer. Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Harshman, excused, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Hutchings,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker, Croker, Crone,
here.
Larson,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller, excused. Moniz, excused. Nicholas, excused. Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson, excused. Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace, excused. Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Croker.
Excused.
Croker excused. 51 present, 9 excused.
The prayer of the day will be offered by Reverend Mark Marston, representing the First United Methodist Church, Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Our Lord in heaven, who gave strength to those who settled our great country, those who moved across the valleys and the great plains. Our Lord, we ask that you might be with these men and women gathered here in this room today. Our Lord, give them strength and clarity to finish out this week. Our Lord, give them strength to serve this great country and this great state. Give them clear of minds. Sharpen their minds. Give them focus. And our Lord, please remind them of their purpose here, to serve this state and their people. Our Lord, give them wisdom on this day. Give them strength to persevere. Our Lord, we ask that you might lay your blessings upon them. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it
stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Live on!
We're at that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 24th, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Winters and Filer.
Representative Goggles, privilege of the floor.
Thank you for the privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker, and members of the 62nd. This is my first time doing this. I'd like to introduce my sweetheart. She came here to be with us today to be our page of the day. Her name is Shiloh Underwood. She's a fifth grader at Wyoming Indian High School. She reads at a 75th percentile in the nation. Shiloh came here today with my wife of 38 years in the West Gallery there, Chip. My two grandsons, Jason, Jordan, my little guy, Turtle, and my granddaughter, Aaliyah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to the House. The doctor of the day today is Eric Weddle, MD from Cheyenne. The nurse of the day is Deborah Dawson from Ivinson Memorial Hospital in Laramie. We're at that order of business of reading and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 103, as promised.
House Bill 103, as introduced by Representative Yagi.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to firearms.
House Bill 103 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104.
House Bill Number 104, introduced by Representative Croker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to firearms.
House Bill 104 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105.
House Bill Number 105, as introduced by Representative Yagi.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to concealed weapons.
House Bill 105 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 200.
House Bill Number 200, introduced by Representative Northrup.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 200 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 216.
House Bill Number 216, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 216 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 231.
House Bill Number 231 is introduced by Representative Throne.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Uniform Consumer Credit Code.
House Bill Number 231 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96.
House Bill Number 96, as introduced by Representative Croker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
House Bill 96 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 141.
House Bill Number 141, as introduced by Representative Eklund.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
House Bill 141 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 168.
House Bill Number 168 is introduced by Representative Connolly.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic relations.
House Bill 168 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 169.
House Bill 169 as introduced by Representative Connolly.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to marriage.
House Bill 169 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill Number 114 is introduced by Representative Croker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal law.
House Bill 114 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 232.
House Bill Number 232, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to highways.
House Bill 232 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 97.
House Bill 97 is introduced by Representative Croker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health.
House Bill 97 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're now at that order of business of reading and reference of Senate files. And the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10, as introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Supreme Court.
Senate File 10 is referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 12.
Senate File 12. As introduced by Judiciary.
Senate, first reading of the bill.
An act relating to child support payments.
Senate File 12 is referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 15.
Senate File 15 as introduced by Judiciary.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to penal institutions.
Senate File 15 is referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 92.
Senate File Number 92 as introduced by Senator Hines.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 92 is referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 105.
Senate File 105 as introduced by Appropriations.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school facilities projects.
Senate 105 is referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68 is introduced by the Revenue Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue.
Senate File 68 is referred to Committee Number 3 Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File Number 62 is introduced by Senator Coe.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the State Board of Education.
Senate File Number 62 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 31.
Senate File Number 31 as introduced by the Agricultural Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to veterinarians.
Senate File 31 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File Number 69 as introduced by Select Water Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 69 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 43.
Senate File Number 43 as introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state parks and cultural resources.
Senate File Number 43 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 76.
Senate File Number 76 is introduced by Senator Hicks.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
Senate File Number 76 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 13.
Senate File Number 13 as introduced by the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Uniform Commercial Code.
Senate File 13 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File Number 19 as introduced by Representative Guise. Is that right?
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to special hospital districts.
Senate File 19 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File Number 57 introduced by Senator Coe.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to speed limits.
Senate File 57 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78.
Senate File Number 78 is introduced by Transportation.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Military Department.
Senate File 78 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File Number 26 is introduced by the Minerals Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to radioactive waste.
Senate File Number 26 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52 is introduced by the Minerals Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 52 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 83.
Senate File Number 83 is introduced by Senator Peterson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Medicaid.
Senate File Number 83 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 201, Transfer on Death Deed, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Walters, Watt, and excuse was Representative Miller, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 199, Cigarette Taxes, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blickery, Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, and Northrop. Those who voted no, Representative Laux, Madden, Petroff, and Semlick, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 130, Education Elective Academic Bible Study, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Pieperinen, and Teeters. Those who voted no, Representatives Connolly, Patton, Paxton, and Summers, and it is signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 208, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Teeters, signed by Representative Connolly, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 179, Failure to Observe Closed Roads, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yagi, Laux, McKim, Reeder, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman. Your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 55, Surface Mining Operations and Exemptions, respectfully reports the same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Summers, and Winters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 176, School District-Natural Gas Fueling Facilities, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasparic, Larson, Summers, and Winters. Those who voted no, Representatives Lockhart and Reeder, signed Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
With that order of business of re-referral of bills. Chairman Teeters, you might have a bill to re-refer. I'm batting.
Mr. Speaker, let's do re-referrals later.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 53.
House Bill Number 53, as introduced by the Agricultural Committee, an act relating to state lands.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 53 and ask for your favorable consideration. Yesterday, members of the House, we had a discussion about House Bill 53 on state land violations. And one of the things that we had added to the bill was the provisions to provide for restitution for people who do resource damage out on the state ground, and everybody seemed to be fine with that. We run into a little bit of a concern in our standing committee amendment when we added really 4 new provisions in there that would constitute a violation of a lawful order. And you can recall we split the divided the amendment and removed a couple provisions from that. This amendment comes back in after some consultation with the director from the State Lands Office and with further consultation with one of our good colleagues whose name you do see on this amendment to say how can we tighten this provision up that we removed yesterday. So I bring you that item in Romanet number 7, which says violating any lawful order issued by the board closing state lands for the purpose of protecting public health and safety. So the testimony that we heard in committee and further information that we received yesterday after we'd worked this bill on committee of the whole, that we do have some cases where state land parcels have been closed because of incidents of where they're close to other private property, where there's buildings and vehicles and people, and there just didn't seem to be a way that the state land office can close those lands when there was a shooting going on, and some of those bullets had lodged in the buildings and in the vehicles. And so this would just provide kind of a more narrow language to say that in these situations, they now have a way that they could close that to protect public health and safety, where before they did not. And another comment came from the good chairman of education with respect to item number D that was in the standing committee amendment. We left it in the amendment yesterday, and it had to do with what would be the provisions of subsection the provisions of this section we just talked about shall not apply to the actions of any person acting in the terms of a valid lease. And this second reading amendment just brings in the word authorization. He brought up some concern about whether or not they could continue to burn in some areas, and this would just provide some clarity that if they're authorized to do that, then they could do that. So I would ask for your favorable consideration and try to answer any questions.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good work by the Chairman of Ag. I do support this amendment. You do see my name on it. What I find with this is this narrows the scope. After just a little bit more discussion, we kind of drilled down to what the board was looking at, and so this will solve most of my problems. That is, there are legitimate reasons why we need to close some land or create some buffer zones that are for health and safety, and now I'm not too worried about, I'm not worried about the broad powers. We've got that out. This is a nice, narrow, defined purpose, something that we ought to be in support of. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time, second time, sponsor? Voting on second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 53, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment number 1 to House, second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 53 has carried. House Bill 53 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Madam Minority Floor Leader, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today it is my pleasure to introduce to you fifth graders from Alta Vista Elementary with their teacher, Christina Maley. Ms. Maley has taught 2 out of my 3 children, and we're happy to have them here today. Thank you.
Welcome to the House. Representative Blake, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In our South Gallery is Sweetwater County Commissioner John Cole.
Welcome to the House. We're back at
Mr.
that.
Mr. Speaker.
No. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Behind me in the West Gallery, I'd like to introduce Daniel DiCecco and other students from UW who are here today to talk about anti trafficking. So welcome.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If that's south, that must be North Gallery. We have with us the superintendent of the district of the school district within House District 60, Donna Little Como.
Welcome to the House. Representative Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have privilege of the floor and introduce a former legislator, Senator Raylan Jobe, in our South Gallery, along with Mary Garland from the Al Bogan Foundation. Welcome.
Welcome to the House. Are there any more privileges of the floor while we wait for the amendment, House Bill 195, to be printed and distributed? If not, we'll go. Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce some friends of mine from Campbell County School District up here, Dr. Richard Strayhorn, Dr. Alex Ayers, Mr. Don Dealey, and if there's more, if they would stand, because I can't see them all. Thanks for coming, you guys.
We're back at that order of business. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
One more.
Two more. Representative Crone and then Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Thank you. The only person that hasn't been announced in the gallery today is a former city councilman from Cody, Wyoming, and the husband of our great auditor, Charles Cloud. He's here in the gallery today. Please welcome to the House.
Representative Reeder.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Certainly.
In the North Stand, for the first time before the second time, actually the first time she's been here, the love of my life, my wife, Connie Reeder.
Welcome to the House. Anybody else? We're back at that order of business of bills on second reading. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 84.
House Bill number 84, as introduced by Representative Moniz, an act relating to livestock fences.
House Bill 84, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 117.
House Bill number 117 is introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to administrative procedure.
House Bill 117, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128.
House Bill number 28, as represented by Representative Moniz, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 128, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 172.
House Bill number 172 is introduced by Representative Stebson, an act relating to school district school facilities.
House Bill 172, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 175.
House Bill number 175 is introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to juveniles.
House Bill 175, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 195.
House Bill number 195 is introduced by Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to taxation.
There is an amendment. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I want to move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 195, and I'll briefly explain it. This amendment was in response to some testimony that we heard during general file yesterday, and the speaker and some others did point out that once in a while there's some exemptions that are persuasive enough that we don't have a sunset on them. And, you know, I think the consensus was of the body yesterday that this one was one that makes sense. So to make a long story short, all this does is remove the sunset on this bill, and if we ever want to get rid of it, we can do it just as easy, in fact, easier than if there's no sunset, because all we can do is repeal it. All we have to do is repeal it. So I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in support of this. I'm glad to see our good chairman recognize the benefits of this, and as was pointed out yesterday, there are some big benefits to Southwest Wyoming, but more than Southwest Wyoming, to the state of Wyoming, because this rolling stock, as they call it, the railroad cars that come and get repaired, it does mean a lot to our economy, and I appreciate the thought that's went into this. So thank you much on for it.
Representative Kirkbride.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I consider this a friendly amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 195. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 195 carries. Kind of scared me there. So many ayes, I didn't expect those. House Bill 195, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 197.
House Bill number 197 is introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to decedent's estates.
House Bill 197, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 3.
House Joint Resolution 3, as introduced by Representative Hunt, a joint resolution requesting Congress to refrain from enacting any laws which restrict private property rights in violation of the United States Constitution.
House Joint Resolution 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 61, House Bill 62, House Bill 98, House Bill 133.
House Bill number 61, as introduced by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to trade and commerce, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 62, Minerals Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill number 98, introduced by Representative Moniz, an act relating to county clerks, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill number 133, as introduced by Representative Connolly, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Blickrey. Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride, Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller excused, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne, Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 61, Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 62, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 98, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 7 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 133, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 61, 62, 98, and 133 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of third reading and final passage. The only bill for our consideration is Senate File 104.
Senate File Number 104, as introduced by Representative Coe, an act relating to government administration, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 7-3, I would request that the bill be laid back for a day.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Mr. Speaker, I would object to that and ask for a roll call vote.
That is a request that's non-debatable. The request is to lay back Senate File 104 for a day. As soon as the Chief Clerk is set up, she'll call the roll. Representative Zwanitzer.
Just point of order, Mr. Chair, could we explain, because this is the first time we've had this, what the vote is on and how it works?
Sure. We're voting. What the request is a request to lay this bill back until Monday for a day. It's not a debatable motion. And so what we will be doing is just doing a roll call on whether we debate this bill today or we debate this bill and lay it back and do it Monday. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Point of order.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, so an aye vote is to hold it to Monday, where a no vote is to debate it today, correct?
That an aye vote is to hold it until Monday, and no vote is that correct?
The motion is objective. His motion was to object to holding it.
Okay. All right. This is more complicated than it needs to be. An aye vote is to debate the bill today. An aye vote is to sustain the objection. And no vote is to debate the bill on Monday or reject the objection. So aye is today, no is Monday. Because we're voting on the objection.
Ready?
Okay.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow. Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller, excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Blevins, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 14 no, 1 excused.
The objection has been sustained. The bill will not be laid back. We've got so many amendments on this bill, it looks like the budget bill. We're on now on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 104, Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 104 and would ask for your aye vote. On page 63, line 16, this simply inserts the language, and this language will allow the governor, will require the governor to report a specific plan for us as to how we're going to proceed to rebuild the capacity that's been lost in the department. It's going to take years to replace the expertise that we've lost, and we really need a plan moving forward. So I would call for your aye vote on the amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Second time? Question having been called, all in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 104, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. We are now on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 104. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2. This amendment provides for the transition of facility space for the new superintendent, and I would ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Representative Yagi.
Ask the good chair to do a little more explanation of this. What does this really entail for what we have and what he's suggesting? If you would explain that, please.
Anybody else for their first time? First time? Second time prior to the sponsor, Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We need the Department of Information and our administration and information to provide and secure space for the superintendent in her new duties. And this amendment accommodates that.
We're voting on second reading amendment number, or third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 104. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment carries. We are now on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 104. Representatives Wanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 104 and ask for its favorable consideration. Members of the body, I had several of my constituents in my district call me this week and express some concern on their jobs, quite frankly, whether or not this bill passes. If this bill does pass, I wanted to put this amendment into the bill that basically says, you know, there's some stability in the department with this turnover that may occur, both based on the 24 to 48 hours and how long it takes from the vote today based to when this becomes law, should certain personnel get a transfer in job duties. A lot of these people in the WDE are at-will employees, and there's just a lot of fear going on. What the amendment also does is provide some stability in the weeks after this change, should it occur, to not just be able to go in and arbitrarily fire all the at-will employees from the last administration. And so I think it kind of equalizes both sides of the fence that will, you know, at least for the concerns of people in my district, because I do have a lot of employees of this department who live in my district who have expressed just some trepidation of what's going to go on. So at least for the weekend, this would alleviate some of the concern and stress and hopefully calm some of the fears of job changing and what may occur. I'd stand for any questions.
Chairman Teeters.
Rising on in support of the amendment, it is a friendly amendment. I also have concerns about those folks that have not been in the department for more than 1 year. They are also not protected and considered at will until their first year of service. So this does impact more than just the top 5 or 6 people that are at will. There will be dozens and dozens of people that this protects, and I would ask for your aye vote.
Anybody else for their first time? First time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Question having been called. All in favor of third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 104, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading number 3 to Senate File 104 has passed the House. We are now on third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 104. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 104 and would ask for your aye vote. This is in response to the concerns that we're hearing from our constituents, and I think it is perfectly appropriate at this point for us to take a step back and consider all the duties and responsibilities that we're moving. The passion of the state superintendent from when she first got elected has always been about professional development, and this is an attempt to allow her to continue in those pursuits as she campaigned, and I would ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Second time prior to the sponsor? We're voting on third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 104. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 104 has carried. We are now on third reading amendment number 6, corrected copy, to Senate File 104. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move third reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 104. What I have here, folks, is a bill that I think represents our constituents. All the correspondence we've had, the emails, phone calls, all concerned about changing horses in the middle of the stream. We elected the superintendent for a 4-year term, and the vote for her election was 2/3. So I think the voice of the people really need to be heard. And this bill, what it's trying to do is just implement the bill on January of 2015. So what it's saying is, let's continue as we have, finish the term, and then all of the information that is being gathered on the accountability, the testing, the professional development needs, the professional development of certified teachers, it would get everybody a little bit of time to maybe step back, have a look at what these duties are, what we need to be doing with this bill. And of course I'm for this amendment because it just puts it back in January of 2015. I am against the bill, of course, but I think this amendment gives the people of Wyoming time to hear the pros and cons. I was talking to a longtime member of this body, even been in leadership, never heard of a bill going as fast as this one's gone. And that concerned him. So he's a former member of this body, and he just was quite concerned about this. So I think stepping back, giving this bill, if it passes till 2015, would give the people of Wyoming the time to hear the pros and cons. And also rethink the State Department of Education superintendent's responsibility, and I might add our legislative responsibility. Just an insert. I was part of this movement when we got going as a member of the Education Committee. The good chairman and I were there together, and we kind of looked at what is in the future, what we could be doing. And we thought we as a legislative body knew what was best for education. So we kind of took it upon ourselves in, you know, that was 4 or 3 years ago, to start this. And since then, it's just been going and going. I would submit to you that I don't think the legislature has done a very good job of telling our school districts how to do their job. All of the talk we've heard about, well, we're putting a lot of money in and we're getting very little out, I just think that is not a good statement to be making. I think our scores are, there's a lot and lot of positive things going on in our schools, and to have that continually said, by a lot of our leaders everywhere. We're putting a lot in and not getting what we should out. I take an exception to that. So I think this bill just gives us a chance, and the people of Wyoming that voted 2-1 to put the superintendent in, let's see what's going on. Let's not have what is perceived as, you know, a real hurried fix by, and again, this bill is not a committee bill. This did not come out of the education department. It came out of people who had concerns, and I would really like you to consider this just a kind of a cooling off period. So I'm for this amendment, but I'm opposed to the bill.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise as a parent in opposition to this amendment. I've been working on education issues for the 6 years I've been here. And 2 years ago, we were able, the good chairman of education and I, 2 years ago, were able to make some substantial changes to PAWS testing, to streamline PAWS testing, to make it more efficient, to make it so it didn't eat up 1 month of our children's classroom time. And frankly, the Department of Education interfered with that effort. When you have kids in the school system, as I do, I have an 11th grader. He would be taking the PAWS test and the ACT test this spring, despite the fact that our committee said the PAWS test was worthless. Not worthless for the 11th graders. We took it out for 11th graders. But the current Department of Education was going to forge ahead with that, despite what this body explicitly, and I mean explicitly, said in statute. This is not a rushed bill, and although it's an individually sponsored bill, it comes out of the 2 years of work of the Select Committee on Accountability. When you're a parent with kids in school, I have an 11th grader, a 9th grader, almost forgot, and a 6th grader. Time is of the essence. We can't wait 2 years. Our kids can't wait 2 years for a Department of Education to get services to the districts they need. We can't continue to have obstruction. And, you know, with regard to the people voted, I'm well aware the people voted, but we rewrite laws all the time and change duties all the time. That's what we do. We're talking about how the Department of Education is structured. The voters voted for a superintendent of schools who, under the existing structure, is also the director of the Department of Education. But we can change that at any time. And again, 2 years, you know, that's an eternity for a sixth grader. As I jokingly said in my opening floor speech, by the time I finish this term, I expect that sixth grader to be taller than I am. And, you know, time marches on, and we have an obligation not to delay. Thank you.
Representative Pipirina.
Yes, I stand on and for the amendment and against the bill. I think the good legislator from the Bridger Valley brings up some pertinent points, and I would encourage you guys to listen to them and support the amendment.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I come before you to remind you of some just basic logic that I think all of you use when you're not sitting in this body. And I'll use my reference again of that crop in the field. When you plant that crop in the field, every one of us know agriculture. If you have an insect or a fungus or something that attacks that crop, you don't wait till harvest. You don't wait and you don't listen to the voices and those pundits who tell you, hey, let's wait and see how this is going to turn out. You take care of that right away. Fix your crops so you can have something to take to harvest. On and against the amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment, I would just remind the body, and I just want to kind of clarify, it was like reference that every time that, you know, our locals say that when the legislature gets involved in education, that it doesn't work or it doesn't. And I'll just tell you, Title 21 is everything we've done for education. It's huge. And the people who were here 15 years ago, 20 years ago, have worked their tails off. The people in this body, previous bodies, there is a lot of good what we have done. And so ask your school districts, hey, do you want to go back to the days before WASCE, before a cost-based funding model, before state standards, before equalization of funding? I think you'll get a pretty clear answer. Is education in Wyoming in some kind of crisis with our students? No. Our kids are doing well. We have some of the best schools in the world. I've said that on this floor. I think the goal of our legislature, though, is to move from good to great. Let's be number one. Why is Massachusetts number one? Well, I think part of it's their structure. They have an appointed director of their education who took a 10-year plan to really do that. And what we have is an inherent structural problem. We elect a politician who runs on political promises that they can't keep. We are, as you all know, you've heard all the constitutional arguments, WASCE, Campbell 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's not only in our purview, which the Constitution says we are solely responsible, but that case law tells us what the Constitution actually says. And it is clear that we have a duty, your number one duty here, to ensure that K-12 education will not fail. So we will build schools before we build roads. We will build schools before we build prisons. We will pay teachers before we pay the Department of Health. That is our duty. And Title 21 and all the good work in Wyoming has not been done by kicking the can down the road 2 years. It was people who took tough decisions, much more vigorous debates than this debate, I might add, much tougher debates. In a time when folks said hang tough against education increases. The majority ruled, and our kids, our state is much better for it. So this just didn't happen by accident. And we are now at a time where, you know, I haven't even talked about the department. So here we are with, you know, 160-some employees, 232 million in federal funds. We only give the department 29 million in general and other funds. Most of it's federal flow fund through. This is a ministerial position we're talking about to administer the duties, which most of these should flow through the districts. It's not about all this political fighting with the legislature. We set the policy. Now, if that's not the case, let's just block grant the executive branch. Let's just turn this room, into a museum. We don't even need to come down here. But I think it's clear in Section 1 of the Constitution what our duty is and the separation of powers. The Department of Education was created by us. It is funded by us. We have given duties to it. We have taken them away. We have given some duties to the superintendent. We have taken them away throughout the years. It was just 4 or 5 years ago we took duties with school facilities away from the superintendent's office. So how do we best administer this department for the benefit of our citizens? That's the bottom line. And so that $260 million biennial budget doesn't even count the $1.6 billion that we collect, much of it from local taxes, redistribute it on a cost-based model to, number one, ensure, you know, an equity piece, and we take care of small schools very well. Some of our small schools are funded at $37,000 per student. And nowhere else in the world is it like that. So, you know, I say thank goodness for this body that took its duty seriously, has worked their tails off, and I really commend the folks in this body because the work continues. See, these issues in the legislature never go away. They're the same ones our founders. It's land, it's criminal, it's justice, it's about education, it's about water rights. Those things are going to be with us 100 years from now. So how do we best do this? I say by doing those things that we've always done, making those tough decisions to do the right thing. And I'd submit to you the right thing is not kicking the can down the road. So I urge your defeat of this amendment. I urge your defeat of the final amendment we'll talk about. and pass the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to make two quick points. One, in regards to the notion that this bill has been rushed to the legislature and rushed through the session, I would remind you that even in the most recent round of things, we had the audit reports back in the 80s and then again in the 2005-06 time frame, and then in 2010 and the accountability pieces of legislation that have brought us to this point. And so there has been years of discussion and studies and mounds of paperwork every session about how to make this department work the most efficiently. So to say that this is something that has been rushed in that way, I think, is not accurate. Also, there's a really good reason why we have...
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Go ahead. State your point, Representative Watt.
Are we talking about this amendment, or are we talking about the bill?
Mr. Speaker, we are absolutely talking about this amendment, because what this amendment does is delay the implementation of this plan, the plan that the legislature is proposing. So I believe that it does pertain exactly to this amendment.
I'll continue. Just make sure that you're talking about the amendment, not the bill in general.
Okay. Then, Mr. Speaker, the reason that this measure needs to be addressed now and not later is because there's been an awful lot of forethought go into it. It's moved forward in the sessions while we still have time. We have broken no rules. We have suspended no rules to bring it to this point, and we are still here for another month to be able to deal with things that should come up. That's important, I think, in the consideration of whether we want to delay this and extend this out even longer. And so, Mr. Speaker, I would just wrap up by encouraging everyone to vote no on this amendment and following amendments and support the bill.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if I appreciate the comments, but I think it's good comments to hear. You've heard why we need to do this, and good Chair of Appropriations said, he went way back, and I'm not talking way back. Amendment B was passed in small schools, large schools, and I was very glad to hear that our schools are in good shape, and we're doing some great things, and I would hope we would remember that as we're talking about all the things that are so bad that we need to hurry through and do this. So I think giving the people time to hear what's going on, correspond with us as their legislators, the select committee, as they're rethinking the duties of what needs to be. I just think this is a wise thing to let the people of Wyoming, our constituents, have more say than we're giving them with this hurried through bill. So I encourage you to vote for this amendment and still defeat the bill.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 104, corrected copy. All in favor of third reading amendment number 6, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
I'm not even going to rule on this one. All in favor, stand up. All opposed. Would you all agree with me that that's more than 18? The amendment fails. We're now on third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 104. Madam Speaker Pro Tem, if you would. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 4, and we'll remove it at the appropriate time. The funny thing about this bill is it wasn't even on my radar. I've been spending all my time writing a misdemeanor bill with penalties in it. Those are the kind of things I work on. We all have our little bailiwick, our niche that we all work on, and we do things. Education, you know, in the 9 years I've been here, you know, when the good coach from Natrona County gets up and starts talking, I actually take notes. I actually still have notes of things he says 9 years ago. He would hand out handouts, and I would grab all those, and I'd write all over them, because it was fascinating stuff, and we were all very much on the same page, and we were moving forward, and we've done really good things, and mostly to people like him, and you know, one of my best friends in here is the chairman of education. Boy, when he gets up and talks, I listen to whatever he says, because he is usually, almost always, on the same page as I am, and I have great respect for him. He's one of my better friends that I've had in here, and I really appreciate him. The thing I do, and the only reason I got involved in this bill, is I look at bills through a different lens, perhaps, than others, because you come at a bill from your background. My background's in the law. So when I pick up a bill, I look at it a little differently. And I look at this bill, and to be honest, I really wasn't paying attention to what the things with the superintendent. You know, everybody says superintendent does this or does that. That wasn't what I was paying attention to. Because to me, and what we're trained so much in the law is the ends does not justify the means. I mean, when you talk in the courtroom, a lot of times we know what the correct solution is, but you can't mess up the means to get there. You can't violate the law. You can't violate your procedures or rules or whatever to get to where you want to be. You need to follow the correct path. And that's what I started looking at with this bill. But after the last few days, we've had a few different roll calls, and I think the actual support actually decreased. And I had to start thinking, maybe I'm missing something. You know, maybe I need to go back and actually understand what they're saying about the current superintendent. So I actually stayed up pretty late last night, and I reread. I'd read it before. I'd gone through it, but not as close as I did last night. And I went through the white notebook in very minute detail. A lot of what I do is trying to figure out, I mean, a lot of part of my job is figuring out mysteries. How did you get from this point to that point, and what are all the pieces to put in there to get there? Years ago, we had a case where a guy, he embezzled money. He was the president of a bank. And the only way we finally figured it out, I was staring at the document with the county clerk, and we were looking at it, and we realized the notary signature didn't match the stamp. And it was like this little piece of a puzzle, and suddenly from that piece of a puzzle, I found another document. And then we found more documents. And each piece started falling into place, and soon we had convicted a president of a bank of embezzlement. That is sort of how I think. Is where are all the pieces? How do I fit these pieces together to get to the result? I keep hearing what the result should be. The result is, you know, she's done some bad things. Okay, so let's go back and look at the pieces. So the legislature hired a liaison, and essentially liaison conducted this investigation. And I've been hired before. I've been put in other counties. I've been brought in as a special prosecutor to investigate this or that or some employee issue. And, you know, recently I got sent to another county last year to evaluate something. And I had to write a report at the end as to how the county had done something. And it's hard when you write those reports because you have a bias. It's hard to sit down and be unbiased when you write a report because you start getting caught up with the people and the personalities and you try to write the report as unbiased as you can. And the problem that I had with the liaison's report
is that you read the first few pages and there's very broad statements, these very grandiose statements, and you read those and you're like, wow, that's big, that's huge, that's malfeasance, that's impeachment, you know, that's a big deal. So then you start flipping and you're like, okay, so there's a lot of documentation behind this. What piece backs that statement up? And you start pulling the pieces out and you say, well, I can't find documentation to back that up. I can't find how they make the jump from here to there. And what was fascinating is when you actually start flipping through that white notebook and you find near the back, finally, she does a rebuttal, and then there's actually the second report that actually came out the day we got down here. And they start backtracking on some things. They say, well, maybe that has an explanation. Maybe that has an explanation. And pretty soon, my conclusion was there are reasonable tensions, what I would call tensions. There are tensions between all these different bodies. The system is a very tense system. You have a Board of Education, you have a Department of Education, you got a state superintendent, you got us. Within us, we have multiple, you know, a lot of people. Those tensions are normal. There wasn't anything in there that jumped out at me that said, oh my gosh, this is bad. It jumped out at me and said, yeah, people are tense. I think this got out of hand. And I don't know, it's like most things, when things escalate really fast, and then nobody wants to de-arm, nobody wants to de-escalate the situation. I was hoping today that we could maybe lay this back, and there was a lot of suggestions on how to work this out over the weekend. And my goal has been all along has been to find some way that, you know, we had a press conference and the superintendent standing there with everybody and saying, yeah, this is a good bill. I actually think we've worked out a compromise here. Those are some duties that maybe should be transferred over to the governor. And boy, I'd like to hold on to these ones. And I really appreciate the good chairman of education was sort of doing that yesterday afternoon. That's sort of what I had asked for yesterday morning. And he really took me up on that and really worked hard. But it's just like Congress, you know, they were doing that fiscal cliff thing, and, you know, nobody's doing anything until the last minute. It's the same thing. Nobody actually will move off their positions till the very last second. And in this case, I think we've just ran out of time. I mean, I know where the vote's going, but I thought it was important just to point that out. That I also wanted just to mention, there were some questions about the constitutionality the other day. And the word threat was used. I didn't mean it like threat, like, you know, like it was implied. I don't know if she'll sue or not. I don't know. You know, if it was me and this was happening to me, man, afterwards I'd go crawl in a corner and you'd never see me again. It's just got to be unbelievably embarrassing for yourself and for your family and for your friends. I couldn't imagine having to go through this. So I don't know if she'll sue or not, and, you know, anybody has the option to do it. The point is, and what I have, the whole point of all of my discussions from the beginning has been the constitutional aspect. In its very simple words, the general supervision of the public schools shall be entrusted to the state superintendent of public instruction. And some people brought up, you know, that our attorneys had weighed in, and they haven't actually they haven't ruled. They gave a nice memo. I've read the memo. The memo states what the laws are, but it doesn't give an opinion on how to interpret those. It's a nice memo. And people pointed to the Washke case. Boy, I went and read the Washke case. I don't know how I read that. Not even close. You know, it's an interesting paragraph that they all keep pointing to. It points to, you know, they said, what is Wyoming's constitutional design of education responsibility? They start with a question. And they say, you know, they quote from the Constitution, the legislature shall provide for the establishment, so we have to establish it, we have to set it up, and the maintenance, Okay, so you establish it and you maintain it, of a complete and uniform system of public instruction. That's our role. We establish and maintain it. But on top of that, it says the general supervision of the public schools shall be entrusted to the state superintendent of public instruction. You gotta look at these things together. You're not allowed to look at them isolated. You gotta look at them. And then they jump to the sentence that says, these and other constitutional expressions should leave no doubt that the legislature has complete control of the state schools system in every respect, including division of the state into school districts and providing for their financing. But when you go on and you read the whole case, and you realize what they were trying to do back then, what they were really trying to get across to the legislature, they were knocking it on their heads. You got to do something. The financing's not working. That's what they were getting at, was the financing. And actually, I sort of agree with that statement. That is with the legislature. We can take away powers from the state superintendent. But the real question, and this is the one I want you to ask yourself, how many powers can I take away from a position? And I totally agree you can take positions, duties away. How many duties can you take away before you've negated the constitutional provision that says the general supervision of the public schools shall be with the superintendent of public instruction? If it says the general supervision, and how much can you take away before they don't have the general supervision? And now you've negated part of the Constitution. That's the only question I've been asking myself. And, you know, everybody has, you know, there seems to be, you know, the consensus with the other attorneys in this body that that's not right. That's where I'm at on it, that I don't think you can negate parts of the Constitution like that. And I leave it at that, and I just wanted to make sure we had stated it one more time, and we can keep debating this, but I'll leave it for now and see if somebody wants to keep talking.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have been struggling with whether I was going to speak or not today, because we've come to this particular place in this decision-making process. And as to whether the train will slow down or stop, I think the answers are already made. So the question for me was, will I speak to the dictates of my conscience? And I feel that I must. I actually disagree with the former speaker. I do, on my finite understanding of our Constitution, believe that Article 4, Section 1, Article 4, Sections 11 and 12, and Article 7, Section 14 do speak to the constitutionality of it. But I do agree with him as to the title change that we are pointing to with this particular piece of legislation. Now, I do not have our good speaker's ability to draw verbal political cartoons, and I did look for ways to bring elephants and hippopotami wearing T-shirts to this conversation, but I couldn't. But I did decide to bring in the idea of the humble beaver. He's not wearing a T-shirt, though, Madam Chairman. But it is an industrious animal, and it works to build a home, a structure, in which it can live and thrive and work. In our society, we have done the same thing. In our society, the earliest builders, I reference the one who chose to drink poison hemlock rather than violate the dictates of his conscience, his great student who wrote the masterpiece, The Republic, and then his student in turn who wrote on ethics. The 17th century writers, the men who met at Runnymede Meadow and wrote the first article that you find in your Constitution for the state of Wyoming. I reference the Bill of Rights that was written in 1689, the Declaration of Independence in 1776, the Constitution of the state of the United States of America in 1789. All of these were guided with an understanding that our society is built upon a social contract. This social contract should be held inviolate. And those industrious thinkers described the homes and structures in which we live and thrive today. They understood that it was a contract between the elected and the electorate. And this bill is the stick of dynamite that blows that work to smithereens. It steps between the elected and the electorate mid-contract. That has been my objection all along. In our country, that electoral contract is for a specified length of time. We are taking unprecedented steps at this particular place. Now, I am thankful for the fact that Senate File 104 has come to this body this year. Being a freshman in this particular year has been very educational. We've developed friendships. And in this body, no matter the background a person is from, you get the understanding that we in the state of Wyoming are indeed a family. And so that's the reason why Senate File 104, while difficult, makes us think of the deeper questions that we face. It's a little bit like a boxing match in which you forget all your training until you get slugged in the nose once. And it suddenly comes back to us. We are leaders. We have been elected by the majority of the people of our individual districts to come and stand up for what we believe is right. My friends, this particular bill, with the contention that it entails, this particular bill, with all of the strife that has ensued, I believe has caused us some damage. Now, we can get beyond it. We're family, after all. But I ask you to think along the dictates of your conscience and think carefully. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I very much appreciate the fact that the good chairman of Judiciary went through everything in the big white notebook. I know he is very thorough and very thoughtful, and so even when he's on the other side of an issue, I listen very carefully to what he has to say. But I want to give you the perspective of someone who has served on the Select Committee for 2 years. And before I get to that, there's been a lot in the press how this is a conspiracy of the quote-unquote good old boys. I'm not a good old boy. Kind of biologically impossible for me to be a good old boy. So just really had to get that off my chest. It's been bothering me for a long time. But going back to the work of the Select Committee and the work of the liaisons weren't on a witch hunt. We had a year of the Accountability Committee. Things weren't moving as effectively as we thought they should. It was a big, complex bill. Our staff couldn't, take away from their other responsibilities to assist the department. So we hired liaisons, experts in their field, well-respected in the world of education. And I think they really saw themselves as there to assist the department. And, it started out that way. And then tensions developed because it wasn't a cooperative effort, because the liaisons soon had to document that the department was not implementing the law that we had passed. And so it's been sort of a gradual progression, and I think that's what I'm trying to help everybody understand. And it sort of came to a head at our July meeting, and you have the minutes at tab C in your big white notebook, and these are the July minutes. And we went through a number of issues in July, sort of esoteric statutory issues, But we did motions on the committee to emphasize to the department when we said the $500,000 for the State Board of Education really was $500,000 for the State Board of Education, because what happened was the department had taken it upon themselves to hire somebody they wanted to do the work for the State Board of Education, and when the State Board of Education went to the department and said, we found the consultant we want, the money had been obligated, and I think we fixed that with one of our motions. The other motions related, I'm not going to go into all the details, and it's sort of on page 8 and 9 of those July minutes. And, you know, like all minutes, they don't reflect everything that happened in the meeting. And then we also had a motion that day about PAWS and the ACT, which I discussed in my earlier comments. But we also had to emphasize that really we didn't want the department spending any more money on PAWS, which, my recollection, they were continuing to do, despite the fact that we said 11th grade PAWS was not something we wanted to continue. And so this has been constant. But the really interesting thing that I wanted to share with you about the Select Accountability Committee, in case you don't have the names right in front of you, I don't think you could find 10 people more ideologically diverse in this legislature. Everybody from myself to the good chairman of education, as we get more into this, you will notice that our votes are generally not the same. And the makeup of the folks from the other half of the building was pretty similar. These motions were unanimous every single time. Different people made the motions, different people seconded the motions. There was no dissent. And I think that's what I really wanted to get up here and say, that this is not a precipitous effort. The liaisons were not on a witch hunt. They were thorough professionals. It's very detailed, complex. Part of it's complex, but it is detailed. They were thorough, thoughtful, and we really brought them in to help get the bills implemented, not to create the situation we found ourselves in today. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker?
Just the first time for a second time, Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative McGee for your second time. Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak for their first time? Representative Patton? Oh.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Legislatures, by their nature, make tough decisions. This bill is going to go down for all of us as being tough. But like many measures that we address and work with, it's not perfect. That's why we meet regularly, to review our past activities, our shortcomings, and even our failures. A little perspective, 440 B.C., Plato wrote in Republic Number 5, the importance of education. It took him a long time to get that writing put down and come to that conclusion, but it's an inspiration when read. The importance of this action may be a continuum to improve, to sustain our commitment to an agreed importance, social contract, education. We're going to vote today. God love each and every one of us and how we vote, but it is a step. It is a continuum. It is something that should be done.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, first time reserving a time for a second time. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. And just a brief reminder to the floor. A year ago, during the budget session, there was a motion, a bill brought to eliminate the superintendent of public instruction, and it lost by only two votes on a two-thirds majority. This issue is not new. It's been thought about and considered and hashed over. And I would just say that if not now, when? And what do we have to do to move this thing forward and to move forward for our kids and for education? Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time?
Madam Chair, just to reserve a second. Thank you.
Representative Harshman, okay. Representative Watt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, getting shot five times has really helped me with the way I think. It used to be I had some reservations about getting up here and talking, but you know what? Those reservations are gone. Because what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to shoot me? I've been there, done that. You know, I mentioned the other day that I'd been praying. And I've been praying this morning. I've been on my knees while we're talking. This body's talking. And I've been praying for each and every one of you and your vote on this. And I'll keep praying. Maybe I'm out of line talking this way, but, you know, I really don't care. I really don't care. You know, when I got elected, I didn't want to run. And I asked God not to let me win. And I won. And I was angry at him, and I'm still angry at him that he had stick me in this position because I don't want to be here. And I definitely don't want to do this vote. And last night I was begging God to let me resign my seat and go fishing. And I don't get that release. And I cried out to God in my prayers. And I'm angry at God right now that I'm going to have to make this vote. I don't want to make this vote. I think that we need to think about this. I think that we need to have a committee, an interim committee on this. I think we need some more answers. And I'm going to vote no. And I'm going to keep praying for you until we have this vote. I want you to know that, whether you believe or not, I do. And I am going to keep praying. And even after this vote's done, I'm going to keep praying. And I'm still going to be angry at God that I'm here. Because I really don't want to be here. But he makes me be here. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? All right, for your second time. Mr. Speaker.
In a constitutional debate, it's always good to start with quoting somebody smarter than you are. And John Adams said that governments should be of laws, not men. The rule of law is what makes our country great. It's not personalities. It's not individual people. It's no one of us being greater than the other. We all abide by the rule of law. And I will tell you that it's my greatest criticism of our federal government that federal government relies on personalities and not the rule of law and not the legislative process, and that there's unchecked political power.
But that isn't the case in Wyoming. There are checks and balances, and I talked about that. We are the check to the superintendent's balance. And if you read Article 7, Section 1, it's pretty clear. And the good chairman of judiciary said that. The legislature shall provide for the establishment and maintenance of a complete and uniform system of public instruction. But much has been said about the meaning and the constitutionality of that bill, but we don't have to make it up ourselves. These things have been litigated before. You've heard about the Washakie decision. These are the cases, and these are the law. It's not dynamite. It's the law. It's black and white law, and it was written, and the cases are real clear. Says it's the job of the legislature to design the best educational system by identifying the proper education package each Wyoming student is entitled to have. It's the job of the legislature. And that's a Wyoming Supreme Court Campbell decision. They also say, Wyoming views its state constitution as mandating legislative action to provide a thorough and uniform education of quality that is both visionary and unsurpassed. And to that end, the legislature is required to consider education as a paramount priority over all other considerations as identified class-based, class-size, teacher quality, local innovation as factors critical to the determination that the legislature is providing a quality education. Not once in that case did the Wyoming Supreme Court, in interpreting our Constitution, mention the superintendent of public instruction. Said the legislature must first design the best education system by identifying proper education package each Wyoming student is entitled to have, regardless of which city he or she lives in. Didn't say anything about the superintendent of public instruction. That's the legislature. Says the Constitution requires the legislature to create and maintain a system providing equal opportunity, quality education, and that system must be a function of state wealth. And then finally, constitutional command that the legislature provide and fund an education system which is of a quality appropriate for the times goes well beyond simply allowing the legislature to dispense a minimal level of elementary and secondary education and then fund it to the best it can amongst other competing priorities. But rather, supporting an opportunity for complete, proper, quality education is the legislature's paramount priority, whereas competing priorities not of constitutional magnitude are secondary. And the legislature may not yield them until constitutionally sufficient provision is made for elementary and secondary education. And that's State versus Campbell County School District. You can find the site at 19 Pacific Reporter 3rd, page 518. That's the law. And whether we want all of these bizarre constitutional implications and voters, we swore to uphold the law. But those arguments are really a distraction from the issue, and that is, what's this bill about? I haven't heard in this debate much about our system is the finest system in the country. What I haven't heard is that our children are getting the best possible education for the dollars we're spending. What I haven't heard is that we are getting good and competent data to make policy decisions. What I haven't heard, because it can't be said, is that this superintendent or the many of her predecessors have performed the duties as prescribed by law. And let me share you two examples. There's the teacher accountability law, and you heard my good friend from high school, the minority floor leader, describe all of the steps that didn't happen there. And then I described to you the teacher-to-teacher program where, with willful insolence, this superintendent ignored the law, held herself above the law, changed the name, and ran a program without legislative financing under a different name, this time financed with federal dollars. What I can hear and what is an accurate description of our system right now is that our efforts are muddled and mired in controversy. And whose fault is that? It's ours, because we designed a system where it doesn't work. I haven't heard in the debate on this bill
the excitement that if we stay with the status quo, the future of our education system will be wonderful. We will have all of these marvelous improvements. I haven't heard that once. I haven't heard that anything other than we'll just tolerate mediocrity for 2 years because that's the will of the voters. Well, by executive order, executive fiat, with this superintendent and superintendents before that, they've started programs without legislative program. And it's our job to fix that. We have a broken system. It's like, to use the good example of my friend from Hot Springs County, there's 90 beavers, and they're working as hard as they can, gnawing and chopping down trees, and doing everything that they can to build a wonderful dam. And they have testimony, and they chop trees down, and they dig canals, and they chop trees down, and they have debates, and they chop trees down, and they try to form a legislative session. And there's this great, big, politically adept, super powerful, great email list bear down at the bottom of the dam rearranging the logs. And they'll stand them on end or mess them up or stand them upside down or maybe go create another dam halfway down the road with the logs that we laid for this dam. And that's the system we have created, and that's insanity. I know I'm asking this body to do a hard thing. I'm asking you to stand up and change the duties of a very skilled and powerful politician. I'm asking you to stand up to a political machine. I'm asking you to stand up against threats against your political careers. I'm asking you to stand up to the threat of lawsuit. In the beginning of this talk, I said that government should be of laws rather than of men. And I believe that to my core. But when our system allows elected officials to overstep their bounds, it's the duty of this body to rein them in. And this bill does that. If enduring lawsuits is what I have to do to protect the sanctity of the government, bring them on. If called upon otherwise to protect the sanctity of government, I'll sacrifice a lot more.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I watched a documentary the other night. It was this woman got hired to be the new chancellor of schools in Washington, D.C., and she got brought in, and it was reminding me a lot of what our current superintendent's been up against. She came in and started making massive changes. And the first thing she did was clean out the central administration. She went to her employees and she sat down and she said, what is our role? And they said, well, our role is to, we bless or we deny requests from the local schools. And she said, that's not our role. Our role is to assist and to help and to support. And she said, if you're not willing to do that, it's time to go. And a lot of them left, and then she does this big fight and gets power to actually terminate quite a few of them. And then she starts reviewing the contracts and realizes how much money had been spent on consultants after consultant after consultant. And the one thing she starts doing is actually bringing up the scores and making the school system work there in D.C. And she ran up against the status quo, and it pushed back, and it pushed back hard, and she was pushed out, and now those schools are not doing as well. I see a lot of similarities where a person was really trying, she really wanted to do the right thing for the students of this state and for the teachers of the state. And she ran up against some people. She ran up against some very powerful people. And it's politics, I guess. That's just how it works. What I would just bring you back to is the Constitution. And the Speaker just made the statement that this has been, the Constitution argument is a distraction from the debate. I think the Constitution is the debate. That is the question. You know, whether or not she's doing some things you don't like, and she had a program that she used state funding, and then she did the program with federal funding. She didn't steal any money. she got federal monies. You know, I don't really get to see what that issue is. It, you know, the problem is that look at the Constitution. And I agree with most of what the speaker just said. The matter of providing the school system as a whole and financing is the responsibility of the legislature. Yeah. Yeah. Almost everything he said, I totally agree with. The problem is you need to look at the one provision. You can't just look at certain provisions and then negate the others. And this is the only question I'm asking you to ask yourselves. Does your action here today, by voting for this bill, does your action negate part of the Constitution? The part specifically is, the general supervision of the public schools shall be entrusted to the state superintendent of public instruction. We all agree you can take powers away from her. How many powers can you take away from her before you've negated that portion of the Constitution? You know, and this debate's gotten very dramatic. I was just very surprised how dramatic it got. To me, it's a pretty simple constitutional question. How far can you go? I don't think you can go this far. I think you got to back up, and you got to give her back some of her powers. And that's just where I come down. I mean, I know where the vote is, but I just wanted to make sure it was on the record, sort of that what the thought was on that. And I'll withdraw the amendment, and I'd urge you to vote no against the bill.
Senate File 104, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Filer, aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller excused, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters, Watt,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 39 aye, 20 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 104, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 104 has passed the House. We are now on that order of briefly Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move we rise and sit again at 2 o'clock.
Actually, we recess when we're not in general file.
I'm willing to recess, Mr. Speaker, if that's what you want.
It's been moved and seconded that we recess until 2 p.m. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
I oppose, no. House will be in recess until 2 p.m.
Mr. Speaker, would you like...